Let's turn now together to the Word of God, and this morning we're going to read Proverbs 31, beginning with verse 10, and we'll read to the end of the chapter, and that would also be the end of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her handmaidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hands to the poor. She reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. In the light of that passage from the Word of God, we consider a Proverbs 14, verse 1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, the text that we consider this morning concerns the house of God and concerns the house of a believer. That concept of a house is common in the book of Proverbs. There are at least 33 references, almost one per chapter, in the book of Proverbs. And then there are sections that are devoted to the subject. For example, chapters 5 through 9 concern the house that a wise man lives in and from which he works and operates versus the house of a prostitute who entices foolish men to enter into her house. One is a house that is a way of blessing, and the other house is the way of cursing and leads to destruction. The house, of course, is a picture. It is a physical structure that we know well and that the Scriptures use frequently to represent a spiritual reality. In general, we may say that the house represents the heart of an individual. It represents especially the relationships that are formed in that heart with God and with the neighbor, or are even there by virtue of creation. The heart represents one's relationship with God, and that house represents the heart wherein one has relationships with their closest neighbor, especially their family and their friends. That picture indicates that one would expect that relationship to be positive and pleasant and good. One would expect that in the house, the heart, there would be good covenantal relationships of friendship and fellowship. That's what one would expect. And yet that picture also indicates that that is not the case with many houses. Even as in the world we know full well, there are houses that are beautiful and functional and valuable. There are also houses that are run down and broken. And there are homes that are dysfunctional and even abandoned. So there is a sharp distinction that is drawn in the book of Proverbs and elsewhere in Scripture between two different kinds of houses and the people that fellowship in their hearts in them. And that this is a spiritual distinction. It is a picture of a spiritual reality. And it pictures that in some houses, God dwells as his own house, and he dwells with its inhabitants as their friends, and they his friends and servants, while in others, God is absent. And therefore, you have even in the book of Proverbs sayings such as this: the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, while God blesses the house of the just. Proverbs 3, verse 33. We read that the house of the wicked is overthrown, while the house of the righteous stands. That's the same chapter, verse 11. The house of the greedy is troubled, while the house of contentment has peace. That's chapter 15, verse 25. And so also our text speaks of two inhabitants in a house and two different houses. It speaks of the house of the foolish, a foolish woman who plucks down her house, and it speaks about a wise woman who builds her house. Consider with me this morning this text under that theme: a wise woman builds her house. A wise woman builds her house. We notice in the first place her building, in the second place her wisdom, and finally her confidence or certainty. To understand the spiritual reality that is being taught here in this proverb, we must firmly have before our mind and understand the picture, the earthly picture that is presented about that spiritual reality. What we must do this morning is imagine ourselves in our house looking out the window at two houses across the street, and we see something very strange happening by the inhabitants of those houses, and strange with regard to those houses themselves. What we see in the first place is this: we see one of the women building her house. Every morning, usually very early, she walks out the door of her house wearing a tool belt, and she begins to work using various materials that have been shipped to her house. And over the course of time, she carefully applies all those materials to her house, and at other times fixes those that perhaps have become broken down. Some of her work has to do with the structure itself. We see a truck pull up and brick comes out, and she begins to apply that brick to the exterior of the exposed foundation to beautify it and to strengthen it and to make it look better. She receives a shipment of some sheathing. She applies that to various parts of the exterior of the house. She puts windows in the house and shutters and siding, and she puts a roof on that house, shingles it. Other things she do has to do with safety. She puts a railing on the porch so that those on the porch will not fall off that porch. She makes sure that the electrical wires are all well grounded. She puts deadbolts on the doors to protect the interior, and even an alarm system to protect from thieves. Other things she does has to do with convenience. She sees to it that there's a concrete driveway poured. There's a dishwasher. She installs a stove, puts in underground sprinkling, and makes sure that there's a garage door opener, perhaps even air conditioner. Other things she does has to do with decoration. She installs landscaping, various trees and shrubs and flowers, puts in a lawn and maintains that lawn. She places a bright chandelier above the table where the family gathers often for its meals, installs carpet and tile. She makes sure there's coordinated paint and wall coverings and pictures and furniture. She builds her house. Then we see something else also going on at the same time. There is another woman, but she is destroying her house. Every day, usually quite late, never regularly, she saunters out of the house and picks up various tools that she left outside in the rain. And she begins slowly but surely to tear down her house until over a period of time there's nothing left. Nothing but a shell. The house is not fit to live in. She smashes with a sledgehammer huge holes in the foundation of her house. She takes a pry bar and she begins to rip up all the siding and all the sheathing until there's great gaping holes for the wind and the rain to blow through. She throws rocks through all the windows so they're smashed to pieces. She takes a ladder, she climbs up on the roof, and with a pry bar begins to rip off all the shingles and throw them all into a dumpster that she ordered. She tears the railings off the porch. She hops up on a bulldozer that she rents, and she begins to rip up everything in the lawn. She tears out the landscaping. She rips out the lawn springs, and she rides over top of the air conditioner unit. Then she takes her bulldozer, rips up the driveway, and then drives it through the garage door. She tears out one by one all of the appliances, all the carpeting, all the tile, all the fixtures, all the plumbing, all the electrical, and throws it into a dumpster. And if you saw that, you would say, now that's strange. Strange would even be an understatement. It would be so strange you would gather your family over time and you would watch riveted at what's going on. Strange in the first place because there is a woman building a house. That's odd. You would expect the husband, perhaps, to be building that house. You would expect, perhaps, a team of contractors building that house. But on the other hand, and far more strange, is that there's a woman actually destroying her house. Rightly, you would conclude she's not in her right mind. And you would be right. And you would then agree with the very proverb that says, she's a foolish woman that plucks down her house with her own hands. In fact, that's what that word means, foolish. Not in one's right mind. That's what it means to be a fool. A wise woman, you would say to yourself, would realize the valuable asset that a house is, that it's a beautiful and valuable thing to possess. Besides that, it's very beneficial. It affords great shelter from the elements and shelter from the wild beasts and shelter and protection from the thief and from the robber. Even more important, it's a place where one can live and dwell. It's a place where one can commune with others, to live comfortably and peaceably, to make meals and sit around a table and enjoy them together with one's own family. A wise woman would build up such an asset, would protect such an asset, would consider it something of great importance. Only a fool would tear it down. A wise woman will cherish that house and work to make it better in every way, to increase its benefit, would use it all the time and live in and around that house. Only a fool would see it as an object to be destroyed and to throw in the dumpster. This physical picture now represents a real spiritual reality. The woman, of course, is a real woman, and her husband and her children are real people, whether they be fools or wise. But everything else, you must understand, is entirely spiritual. That's what a proverb is. In general, that house represents that woman's own heart, where she lives consciously in relationship to God and her neighbor. The heart is the essential place where all relationships with others occur. And that's what a home represents. It's where someone stands in a position of either peace or animosity, where the attitude toward those with whom one lives is derived and resides, either an attitude of love and hatred, an attitude either of enjoying someone's company or despising their company, of wishing their goodwill or evil for them. That's one reason why this text can refer to the house as hers, because it refers to her own individual heart in the first place. And that is why, too, this passage, apart from respect of any husband or any children, can refer to the single woman and the widow. This text has something to say to them also, for they will have a heart, and in that heart have communion and stand in a relationship with others and with God. The heart also then, by extension, includes the entire sphere of those relationships to which her heart extends. The house refers to the heart which governs her relationship to these others, to God, and to the neighbor, and the closest neighbor, the family. It refers to the heart which determines whether those relationships are good or evil, kind or malicious, benefit or for destruction. But more specifically now, you understand that house here in the text refers to the heart of a married woman with her family, refers to the place where she has covenant fellowship with her husband and her children and her God. And it refers now not specifically and mainly to the physical dwelling at all, but to the spiritual. It refers to her heart where she stands in relationship to God. Does she dwell with God in that heart in a state of peace or of turmoil, in a state of love and enjoyment or of hatred and displeasure? But does she stand in her heart in relationship to her husband and children with an attitude and emotions toward them that are favorable or animosity? What is now her spiritual actions and care and nurture toward them that comes and flows from that heart? Those are all the things that are talked about and referred to by the house. And now notice especially, according to the proverb, this is her house to build. This is her house because it is the particular heart and relationships that God has given to her as her own in her own person. If she is wise, then also it's a house, a heart, where God himself dwells. Not simply now where she stands in a certain state before him, one of just or unjust, but where God actually lives and makes his home. It's her heart and house because there in that house she stands in relationship to others whom God has given to her, the husband God has given to her, the children that God has given to her. And if it's a covenant home, then that house includes the fact that God also dwells with them. And it's that sphere, those relationships, that house refers to. We may ask the question, how can that be that this refers to the house as hers? Is it not also her husband's? And is not her husband the primary builder? The text is not denying that at all. It is, however, emphasizing what I just said, that inasmuch as that heart is her own, it is her house. It is her own heart that God gave her. But it's also emphasizing something else with regard to all these relationships in the covenant home. Number one, it's emphasizing that she has real authority in that house. It is not original authority, but it is authority derived from God in the first place and from her husband in the second place as the head of that home. Nor is this authority absolute, but it is an authority that is limited to the specific sphere of the home and also then subject to that, as I said, of her husband. Nevertheless, it is real authority in the sphere of that home. By emphasizing that it is her home, the text is also pointing out that she has her own particular gifts and work and domain in that home. And the idea is in building alongside of her husband. The husband also builds, but he builds in different ways. The husband also builds, but he builds often through his wife. Each of them has their own uniquely suited gifts for their own particular domain and role in that house. And the wise man, like Christ, employs his bride and his wife in that building. It's also important to recognize, as to the proverb, that the idea of building here is not in the sense of making that structure as such, so that then God and the family might therefore then dwell in the structure that she herself built. Even in the proverb, there's already a house. She builds a house. That is, there's a house, and she builds it up. And that's the idea here. It has the idea of maintaining and protecting and nurturing that house, so it becomes even more valuable and wonderful and blessed and comfortable to live in. The main point is this, that it's a work in which she works at her relationship toward the others and works at cultivating and nurturing their relationship with her and with God. Even more specifically, the main point is that the work of the woman here, whether wise or foolish, is entirely spiritual, essentially spiritual. When I say that, I do not at all mean to minimize what is brought out in Proverbs 31. A woman, of course, maintains her home and builds her home in a real physical sense. And that's important, even necessary, for if one does not care for their children, they die. If one does not care for their husband, then there can be no relationship with him. But even Proverbs 31 is a picture, and all the things that are done by a wise woman in the physical sphere are pictures of what she ought to be doing and indeed does in the spiritual realm. And that's what's being brought out here in the text. She's caring for and nurturing spiritual well-being and working at the protection of that spiritual well-being. That's obvious. That simply follows from what a picture is. A picture in Scripture is always a physical reality that represents a spiritual. Besides that, consider this. Even the ungodly woman, who according to the text is a fool, will often care for, nurture, and provide for the physical well-being of her family. There's nothing unusual about that. There's nothing to be commended in Scripture about that as such. And yet, according to the text, according to its real essential meaning, she could be and would be plucking down her house even as she thinks she's caring for it. This needs to be emphasized, namely that this building is spiritual because it is entirely against the opinion of many, even in the church. There are many women in the church who seem quite content with the level of spiritual food and spiritual clothing and spiritual comfort that they provide in their home, but never seemingly content with the physical. They always need more and more and want more and more, and their labor is for more and more of the physical, while the spiritual is either neglected or simply justified as being enough. They neglect, women do in the church, providing real, continual, daily spiritual food for their children and for their family in order to work and to shop for all sorts of physical knickknacks and decorations for the living room and vacations and boats and RVs. So the first thing the women of the church need to be reminded of is their essential work of building the home is entirely spiritual. Let's consider next her wisdom. When we talk about wisdom, we are referring now really to the spiritual motives and reasons in the heart of that woman for the actions of building that home. In other words, she's going to build, and either build foolishly or wisely, and it's that folly or that wisdom that underlies and is the motive or reason for whether she either builds or she tears down. That's the heart of the text. It is a wise woman who builds and a fool who tears down. So we're looking at wisdom now as a motive, as a reason, spiritual now for that work. This is simply a reflection that man is a rational, moral creature. We mustn't imagine to ourselves that the difference between these two women is this, that there's one who knows a lot, and she's very deliberate, whereas the other one is ignorant and impulsive. Now, there might be something to that, but the fact is, both of those women are building according to what they consider to be wisdom, to what they know, and according to certain spiritual notions. But regardless of what they think, one is either wisdom or the other is folly. So much is this true that you may even expect the fool to claim that their behavior is wise. You see, wisdom is different from knowledge. Both a wise person and a fool may have real, true knowledge and understanding about many things. But it's wisdom that determines the actions. Wisdom, you see, is the adaptation or the application of knowledge in order to achieve the best end or goal. That's what wisdom is. If you're walking down the road and you see a snake and you're not sure if that snake is poisonous, then both a fool and the wise may see that snake and make the same exact knowledgeable understanding of the situation. The wise will, however, walk around the snake. The fool will pick it up. The greatest example of wisdom is our understanding and the adaptation of our life and behavior to the reality of God. That's the greatest example of wisdom. The person who is wise knows God and knows the gospel and knows their sin, and in wisdom believes in Jesus Christ, believes in God as their Savior, in Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And the fool, the real fool, may know those same things, may understand those same things, but say to themselves, now wisdom is to reject all that, because faith in God requires I set aside all the things in this life that I love. Wisdom is to eat, drink, and be merry, and to pack in as much of those things as I can before I die. Wisdom is to justify my actions, to minimize my sins before God, and try to argue my way out of the just punishment of those sins. That's the difference. So also with the foolish woman with regard to your house. If you say to her that she's a fool, she will say to you, oh no, it's much wiser for me to work so that my children are adorned with all kinds of nice clothes rather than to adorn them with holiness. It's much wiser for me to labor all the time for the meat that perishes rather than the heavenly bread. Oh, it's much wiser for me and my family to work hard so that we can take a rest in Mexico rather than rest in church. It's much wiser for me to spend my time decorating the walls of my home rather than the hearts of my children. It's much better and wiser if my children can watch TV and have plenty of video games to play and sports to attend to than it is for them to know thoroughly their catechism and give their life to God. And the folly is even worse. The folly is that she doesn't understand that in all that and with those attitudes, she is actually tearing down her house while she thinks she's building it. What she's actually doing, and wisdom understands this, even as looking out the window and seeing it going on, is that she's actually now smashing down the foundations of her spiritual house. She's destroying the spiritual structure of her home and bringing it to pieces. She's ripping out all the spiritual protections afforded her and her family in that home so that her family will become spiritually cold. Her children will become hurt spiritually, and the enemies, the spiritual enemies, walk right into the home. Not only that, but she makes herself even more work. She takes her family relationships to be simply worthless, as it were. Instead of being useful and a beautiful asset, she turns her home slowly but surely into a broken, graffiti-covered drug house. This wisdom begins with the right spiritual attitude and standing in her heart toward God and before God. That's true wisdom. The wise woman believes God. The wise woman believes God dwells in her own heart. A wise woman believes that God dwells in the hearts of her husband and her children, so that her house now is not simply her house, but it is the house of God. And only because it's the house of God is it her house. The wise woman believes that God has forgiven all her sins, even her sins in building up her house. her sins in the family and her sins in those relationships. A wise woman believes that she is righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ and for Jesus' sake. The wise woman believes that she dwells in a covenant home where they are covenant friends of God dwelling in peace. The wise woman believes that her strength and her wisdom and her eternal life is God Himself. She believes that God will preserve her in that salvation. The foolish woman doubts that. The foolish woman refuses to believe that. Rather than standing before God, believing in Christ for her righteousness, she flees from God. She covers up her sins. She excuses her iniquities. And so also she has no peace in her heart with God. She's always at war with Him. And thus also she's always at war with her neighbor, at war with her husband and her children. And she will be busy relying upon her own strength and her own wisdom, all the while believing she herself is wise and not the fool that she is. A wise woman believes that the wisdom she has is found from God, and more specifically in His Word. She believes what God says about herself, what God says about her husband, what God says about her marriage, what God says about her children being the covenant seed. She believes what God says in His Word about the evils of culture and this world, about the vanity of riches. The fool says, "I don't really believe all that. I may read it, I may understand it, but wisdom is really found in the world. Wisdom is found in the entertainment of the world. Wisdom is found in the culture of the world. Wisdom is found in my own head of my own self." In that regard, also, a wise woman understands God's word about herself. Do not overlook this. I already talked about a few things with regard to herself and her standing and relationship with God, but a wise woman understands the wisdom that is found in the Word about herself and her unique and wonderful place as a woman. Never, wise women of this church, believe what the world says about women and what they say is wrong about the Bible's teaching of women. Nowhere are women more honored and blessed than in the church and in the Holy Scriptures. It is an amazing thing how often in the history of the church, God has first called out of darkness into the light of His Word and brought into the church from out of the world godly women. Sometimes even before their hard-headed husbands. But a woman also understands, not only does she have a wonderful, wonderful place in the covenant and church of God, she understands that that place has to do with the continuing of God's covenant and the raising of covenant children. She considers even the wonderful fact that she, and not the men, she, as a wife and a mother, perfectly on this earth is a wonderful picture of Christ and His church, of Christ and His bride, and of the body of Christ. She considers the beautiful truth in Scripture that the church is the mother of the covenant seed, even as she is. Also, wisdom with which a woman builds consists in her God-governed knowledge from the Word and attitude from God toward her husband and children, and also the rest of her neighbors. The wise woman loves her husband because she considers him, first of all, to be her God-given authority and head. She understands that he is the one who is responsible before God for the building of that home. She understands really that he is the foundation of that home and built upon, like her, the chief cornerstone, Christ. That it is the husband who is responsible for the planning and providing the materials with which she builds, that he is responsible even for building her up so that she might build, understands that his job is to support and provide for her and the family, that he is one whom God loves and is a co-heir in the kingdom of heaven. The foolish woman smashes away at that foundation. She rejects the authority of her husband. She uses his sins against him and as an excuse to despise him. She takes every opportunity to deride and belittle him, even in the ears of her children. She mocks and she sabotages his decisions. She even is unfaithful to him, if not with another man, unfaithful in that she will not labor under him or according to his will and desires. The wise woman also loves her children, not simply as her physical offspring and wonderful creatures to care for in this world, but as God's own children, as the covenant children of God. The wise woman devotes the majority of her time and energy providing for the spiritual needs of those children because they are God's. Believers born again from above. And so, therefore, she must primarily feed them with the food that comes from above. She regards them as those that belong to Jesus Christ and not even herself, because it is Jesus Christ who has bought them with his own precious blood. And so she teaches them the wisdom of Jesus Christ and not her own. And she behaves according to the wisdom of Jesus Christ as a good example for their children and not according to her own earthly wisdom. She views those children as the closest neighbor that God calls her to love with all her heart, mind, soul, and strength, to love in gratitude for God and his great dwelling with them. She views them not simply as future bearers of her own genetic makeup. They are not simply those through whom she lives vicariously as such, but she views them as spiritual generations that she longs for and desires to live with forever in the kingdom of heaven. The foolish woman is selfish. She shows her selfishness in that she subjects all her actions with her children to her own will and desires. The most crass form of that is abortion. Kill the little children if they stand in the way of my fulfillment and desires. But many women do that without physically aborting their children. This is what the mother is really doing, who truly, really only loves themselves and loves their children only insofar as they serve themselves. This is what they are doing when all their activity in the home and around the house is determined by their own self-interests and their own self-fulfillment. They are, like the fool woman in the parable, actually tearing down their house. The wise woman's wisdom also consists in her spiritual attitudes and activities toward the materials and the means that God and her husband provides for her to build with. She does not provide those materials herself or even work by her own strength, but they are all provided by God and by her husband. And they are now essentially spiritual materials. They are gifts God gives to her. True spiritual knowledge and wisdom and humility and kindness and meekness and love. The gift of being a godly example. The gift of self-sacrifice and humility. The many, many gifts of a wise woman. But the fool despises them. Even as they show up in her home, she takes them out the back door to rot away. Neglects them, destroys them, and says, I will build with other materials of my own sort. She shows this also by her attitude and behavior with regard to the various institutions that God gives as means with which to build the house. Consider even the state. The wise woman understands that we raise our children and families in this physical sphere. Even though the work is spiritual, we live in the physical sphere, and the state is given as Lord over that physical sphere with real authority from God for our protection and good. The fool teaches her children that the state is of no consideration. It is something to dishonor and even rebel against. The wise woman teaches her children what the church really is. Shows by example and word that it is first in her life because she is a member of that church, and so also are they. The church is there as the means that God provides to provide the real spiritual food for her home and to build them up by the word of God. It's in the church where she and her children and husband are forgiven all their sins, where they receive the imputation of the righteousness of Christ and are given the glorious power of the gospel. The fool says, it's simply a part of our life, a culture, a ritual, like eating and drinking and going away on vacation. It's secondary to what we really do and we want. In fact, the church really gets in the way of our life building the home, and so she tears it down. A wise woman teaches her children about the schools that they are given to assist her and her husband in the spiritual education of those children, she being such a busy woman as it is, spiritually building up her home. She does not, in the end, labor alone, but she labors like with her husband, with others. Finally, what is her confidence? Should be obvious that for a wise woman, her confidence is not in herself. The essential folly of the woman who tears down her home is that she relies on herself. Her confidence is in herself, in her own knowledge, in her own will, and her own desires. So it should be obvious that the wise woman's confidence is not in herself. So what is it in? In the first place, her confidence is in the promise that is implied by the very picture. The proverb simply sets forth a universal truth. It is a statement of fact. The point of that universal truth in the spiritual as well as the physical realm is to teach that this is exactly what a wise woman does. It does not teach that a woman becomes wise by building her home, nor does it teach that she can become wise and be wise but not build a house. The proverb is simply stating the fact that every foolish woman will in one way or another be tearing down her house, no matter how wise she thinks she is. And the wise woman, even though at times she may do foolish things, will always in one way or another, by God's grace, be building her house. But therein is implied also a promise. If God has made you wise, women of the church, and you are wise, then you will be building your house and not tearing it down. Your confidence, therefore, is in Christ. Christ Himself as the wisdom of God and as the true builder of your house. Your confidence is in Christ as the wisdom of God. He is truly the wisdom of God. And that's how you receive that wisdom. God behaved according to the reality of His own justice. God behaved according to the reality of His own election of us, giving us to Jesus Christ, and the reality of our own sin and the reality of death and hell by giving us Jesus Christ to deliver us from all these things. He is truly the wisdom of God. And if you are wise, then it is because God has united you to Him, and He in turn gives you His wisdom. He is the wisdom of the wise woman. That's why she heeds His word. He is the word of God, and why she builds by that wisdom and not her own earthly flesh. But that means then that this wisdom is entirely heavenly. It is not at all worldly. It is not at all physical. It is wisdom from above. It is wisdom from Jesus Christ. And that's why this wisdom has the character that it does. It's wisdom that is not selfish, like the wisdom of the fool, but it is giving. It is wisdom that is not self-serving, but it is wisdom that is self-sacrificing. It is wisdom that is not proud, like that of the fool, but it is wisdom that is humble. It is wisdom that loves, that works for the greatest good of those whom God has given to that woman, and does not work for their destruction and their ill. Confidence is in Christ, who is the wise builder of God's house, the chief cornerstone, the home which belongs to Him, the Christ to whom her husband and children belong. You see, her wisdom is not only from Christ, but labors for Christ and through Christ and on behalf of Christ, labors with the love of Christ and the goals of Christ and the understanding of Christ, labors by Him and for Him and to Him, and not even one's own self. Confidence of the wise woman is that Christ will bless His own labor in your home, will bless His own work through you in your home and family as a mother. The confidence of the wise woman is that Christ, having made your own heart His home, and making the hearts of your children and your husband His home, will continue to build up and protect that home. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord our God, bless this word to our life and to our hearts and to our understanding. May that word guide us in all that we do. May it protect us and keep us from the utter folly of destroying our homes, whether it be a father and husband, or a wife and mother, or even children. Give us that wisdom evermore from above that sees the covenant home and our hearts for what it is, the great places of refuge and comfort and of great benefit to us in our life, because Thou dost dwell there. So grant in Jesus' name, amen.